Well, hello there. This is Robin Johns coming to you live from her car, sitting at Spring Creek. It's this beautiful trout stream, which is north of Rudd, Iowa, near Osage. And one of the coolest things about this place is that it's carved into the side of the hill, and the road goes along there, and there's houses all around, and there's this group of super friendly, big, funny dogs that come and meet us here. And right now I have Lolo, my little 5-pound Pomeranian, sitting on my shoulder because those big dogs kind of freaked her out. We have one who is like a looks like a collie, short-haired collie. I call her Gracie. We have a goofy black lab mix that I call Jack. And then we have a Saint Bernard named Heidi after my childhood. I don't know their real names. And then there's even an English sheepdog, but he doesn't come here. The funniest thing, though, Steve is now walking along the trout stream in heaven, in God's glory, up in God's kingdom, and this herd of dogs with him, I mean, pack of dogs. And he's been to this place before, like in the spring and summer. There's even a resident goat that will come up and say hi. I love this place. So currently, I'm sitting in the car getting some sun, soaking up the sun. And as Pooh would say, it's my thoughtful spot. And Steve and I were discussing what my podcast is going to be about on our way over here, because I've been inspired to start doing this podcast because I do like to talk and I am a good storyteller. And this way I can tell my stories with no interruptions. And you can listen and then turn it off, and I don't have to take anything personally. So the theme of what I'm going to be sharing with you as I tell my stories, and I have trillions of amazing true life stories as well as amazing fantasy world multidimensional stories. So there you go. And the name of this podcast is called Passing Time. So right now I want to share with you the time that is passing around me. It is so beautiful. I'm sitting still for a moment. I got up and walked around out on this newly exposed ground because the snow is melting. It's March 1st. And so my knees that were hurting and my legs that were awkward suddenly feel like they're working because I can plug into the ground. And then I came outside to see if you could hear these beautiful sounds. There's a car going by, there's the river. And you can even hear birds go by. I mean, not go by. You can hear birds tweeting, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, this is such a peaceful spot and a place where it's easy for me to tune into, I don't know, whenever I'm in nature, I feel like I can tune into the greater cosmos and meaning of life. It's Sunday morning. We both woke up early, and our intentions were, as good Christians, to try to go to church. And you know what? Church is out here for us. And so now it's making sense to me why I want to do fisherman ministries with my husband, because we find God when we're outside. Whether it's me shooting photos and him catching fish, catch and release fish, but just being out here is so peaceful. So I'm realizing that fisherman ministries is heading towards conservatism, I mean conserving nature's resources and preserving areas that are wild. And he and I can figure out how to do that together. And maybe that's why we're resisting being inside a building. So time is passing, and I'm 58 now, and I know now time is an illusion because what's so easy for me now that I never used to do is I can go back in time and retrieve memories that younger people don't have. Like when I watch a show that's supposed to be set in the 80s but it's been filmed now, I can spot incongruities because I was there in the 80s. It's a really weird thing. It must be the way my grandma felt when we were looking at old-timey movies that she saw as a young woman. And she saw what it was like. And then we do Brother, Where Art Thou? And that's that's our version of what that old-timey time was. So passing time. I'm very aware of time passing me, kind of like watching this trout stream flow by, but yet the stream is always here. It's going to take a lot to change the stream from flowing. And so time passes the same way. What I like about standing in this one spot is that for a moment I am in God time, standing completely in the moment and watching time flow by in the form of a beautiful trout stream surrounded by trees and shadows and snow and footprints in the snow, and the snow is melting. And I think it's really important for all of us to take a moment to stand somewhere on the ground where there's still some feeling of nature left and just feel our connection to Mother Earth. You know what? I just felt, I heard some gunshots. That's interesting. I hope they're shooting targets, but I guess that's just the way the earth is right now. So yes, you have to stand grounded, and what I'm doing right now, and I know a lot of you, it is so hard to stay grounded with so much stuff swirling around you. And it's taken me forever to learn how to be grounded. So this is my, I've been doing grounding since I was in my 20s. So I even got grounded in high school, but that was a different kind of grounding. But my favorite way to ground is to take a deep breath in, breathe it out. Oh, I just felt all my tension in my shoulders relax. I didn't know I had. And then I imagine, right now I can feel the sun shining on me from above. I'm facing the sun. And then I imagine all that energy coming through the top of my head, flowing through my body, and then going down into the earth so that there's a circuit. And then flowing back up through me, back to the sun, and back and forth. Kind of like, you know, in electricity, you have to have a circuit. And it either needs to ground itself like lightning, or you have to be able to flow it back and forth. And I think what I've learned really well, finally, is when I have way too much energy around me from being around super emotional events, such as funerals or weddings or babies or, you know, those things that stimulate you, that I remember to come out here in a place where I can hear water running. And if I can't come out here, I go in my house and turn on the faucet. I just like water running. And I imagine that I'm instantly sending a grounding cord from my tailbone right down through all the layers that get down to the center of the earth, lock it in. And then I let it go through my feet too. Another deep breath, and I'm feeling much more grounded. But I'm also feeling, which is cool when you're in nature and you're safe, I feel also that I'm getting stretched and pulled and I'm taller. So this is my number one first podcast, and I'm not sure how this works, but it's me telling stories about time passing. And it's called Time Passes. No, it's called Passing Time. Passing Time, that's it. Steve just suggested it to me. I've passed for human, I've passed for black, I've passed for other things, and now I'm learning how to pass time. Isn't that interesting? All right, so namaste and God bless you all, and I hope that any of my wisdom can help you. And I also trust that the wisdom coming through me is not from me, it's from a divine source. So, glory, hallelujah, amen. Hi, welcome to Passing Time with Robin Johns, and that is me. And this is my second podcast after trying one out yesterday and letting it go. And it was kind of scary because I didn't even listen to it. But I do have to say, I'm pretty good with words flowing out of my mouth. But I wanted to make a correction. Yesterday, when I was talking about nature, I said conservatism and I meant to say conservation. Okay? So to make that clear, for those of you who listened to yesterday's podcast, because I was talking about how healing nature is, and how for both my husband and I, when we're in nature is when we get rejuvenated. And so yesterday morning, we had outside church, and it was really fabulous because I feel the presence of the Creator when I'm out in the Creator's creation. So, what I wanted to talk about today is something that I've been working on my whole life and I'm still figuring it out. And it's about the truth and seeking the truth, finding the truth, hearing the truth, and resonating to what is true. In this climate in 2020, it's very hard to tell. We have so much access to so much information at the tip of our fingers, that we get overwhelmed with who said what and cross-referencing. And but there's so many words out there and so many people speaking and so many messages out there. You no longer need to study the answers. You have to know what questions to ask. I've always been a real inquisitive kid. I used to just embarrass my mother horribly back in the early 60s when I was very outspoken and wanted to know exactly how babies were made by the time I was 3 or 4. I wanted to know exactly. I was ready. Whereas my brother, my baby brother, he's, like, he may be 1.5 feet taller than me, but he's younger. He doesn't know anything. He's like 5, 6 years younger than me. So he never wanted to know. He's like, I don't want to know yet. My dad tried to talk to him and explain, like when he hit puberty, and he's like, I don't want to know yet. But no, me, I want to like expose everything that I can see people are hiding from me. And one of the reasons I am so aware of the truth is, and I didn't realize this when I was little, but the extra gifts I have, which are that go beyond what we know of as the five senses, but I have some extra senses that always made it really obvious to me when someone was lying. I thought everybody could see that. I usually could feel it in the pit of my stomach if someone was either being fake or if they were lying to me or if they were trying to control me. I would always get sick to my stomach. I've started to recognize those signals from my sweet little body, as my body trying to get my attention to recognize the unspoken belief systems that people carry around with them, that even though they are trying to be one way and they live an outer life keeping up appearances, it's always been so clear to me who the real person is behind the curtain operating like the human avatar or the human puppet or the and I grew up in kind of a showbiz family. We were all good performers. We were expected to perform. And so I learned how to play my role really well. And my roles were so clear to me that I didn't know who the person playing the roles was. And so I never knew for sure who I was because I was always waiting to make sure I had my script right. I had my reaction perfect and that I always appeared perfect in public because that's what a good performer does. That really grated against me. I'm trying to think of the word. It just rubbed me the wrong way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because there's another part of me, and I remember being under the age of five, where I was just a wild child exploring the world fearlessly and like playing in a mud puddle. And when my panties got dirty, I pulled them off. Even though our neighbors were having a really fabulous patio party, and they came over and told my mom, "You might want to check on Robin." I'm assuming I was two or three. What was so beautiful about that memory and that story, I don't really remember it, but I've heard it so much, is I had zero shame. My body just did what it wanted to do. When I was under the age of five, I just remember just wanting to take in everything and just figure out everything and running around with my body and enjoying it, and it felt good. And then by the time I got to be about five or six, things started to change. I think that's very typical for so many of us. As soon as we start to go to school and be indoctrinated into human society, we forget some of that imaginative magic that we could create when we were little. What I'd like to say now is that I never really grew out of it. I had to go underground. So this podcast is going to be about me sharing the things that I went underground about because I was afraid to expose them to the light because they were so private and so, oh, sacred, I guess I'd say, that I just didn't want to just throw them out there for the whole world to see. Now, one of the ways that my gifts manifest are through music, art, writing, acting, designing, directing, all of that creative stuff, fine arts. I'm really good at that. And my goal has always been to use those arts to be a healer. And because I know for me how writing a song that shows exactly how I felt in that moment is such a relief for when I feel grief that is unexpressible. The song expresses it. I posted a song just a little bit before this that I wrote Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. I was just fiddling on the piano, and then all of a sudden the song started to come out. And I realized, oh, I better record this so I remember the words. I didn't really realize at the moment that 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning on the 29th of February 2020 was right when the funeral for Isabel Meyer started. And it touched a lot of people in my life, especially my daughter. And so I was thinking of her there, being there, and also some of my students and mentees were affected by this young girl who died in a car accident, and she's a senior, and she's 18, poised right on the edge of life. And as a parent, you think, I made him, I got him to be a senior, and then poof. And so this song came out. I pushed record and just was gonna save it so that I can remember what I made up. And I knew in the moment as it was coming out that it was complete. And I needed to just save it and then go back and listen to what I did because I didn't remember once it came out what I did. And that is what it's like to be like a medium. And I'm talking about in art, you use different mediums, watercolors, music, words, your body, dance. I'm one of those kind of mediums that can tune in and download beautiful songs that express emotion right when you need them. I've sung at so many funerals. I've been kind of a funeral singer these last few years. I used to be a wedding singer. But as the seasons change and as the seasons pass, so do the celebrations and celebrations of life in your life. And sometimes those include sorrow and grief along with the joy. But anyway, I'm all about celebrating life. So I posted that song because it shows in a moment what I've been trying to capture my whole life. And I started making up songs when I was really little. My parents were musicians, and I learned how to play and sing really young, and I learned music as a language the way kids in a bilingual house learn to speak Spanish and English. I learned how to speak music. I could play it before I could read it. And that's the way we learn language. So music is one of my big ways of taking that pain within, that emotional pain that often gets stuck in our molecules and in our body and in our cells. And when I sing it out and cry it out and release it, it's like, if you would imagine, like, steam arising in colors from wherever that pain was, and I'm thinking my belly. It just flows out when I express myself through music or art or talking like this. So this is a great way for me to verbalize a lot of the thoughts I have in my mind, which I have a very fast mind with a lot of thoughts going all at once. So it helps me to focus and speak of it. Now back to the truth. And what I'm going to tell on this podcast is always going to be truthful. Because it's going to, I might tell it as a parable or as a funny story. And I might change the identity of people to protect their privacy, but I am going to share the truth because it's time for me to speak my truth. One of the things I used to just love when I had an iMac back 20 years ago, I loved graphic design on there because I learned how to layer colors and create things with the iMac program. I no longer have one, so now I do all of it by hand or on my smartphone. But back then, I loved to make signs that you could hang up on your wall. And one of the things that came to me, again, out of, you know, thin air back then was, there's nothing more threatening to the status quo than a free spirit. And I think my whole life, I have known I am a free spirit, and I have fought against those things which I felt weighed me down, tied me down, cut off my wings, kept me trapped in a cage. And a lot of the things that I have to admit that has kept me locked up in a prison of my own making is the lies I tell myself. Because the lies we tell ourselves is what limits us to the potential creation of our reality. So these are some of the lies I've said to myself over the years, and I keep finding more and more things that are not authentic to who I truly am in mind, body, heart, soul, spirit, all of those other things. I am all those things, and I am Robin. So I've learned to just show those other things to certain people who understand that. It's similar to, I know it's kind of hard to understand, someone like me who sees and hears things that a lot of people don't hear. I would have to say it's similar to trying to explain what color is like to someone who is colorblind, who can't see color. I see more colors than most people. I hear more sounds and more resonances than most people because I was born with this extra app that understands vibrational frequency and the connection to sound and how when sound goes up into a higher frequency, it becomes color. And so, one of the things I've learned as a self-taught healer who studied healing since I was in my 20s is that color and frequency and vibration and changing your vibration and all of the, if you think about that, the whole universe is actually just matter vibrating together. And here on Earth, it's vibrating denser, so it's solid. But really, it's all just vibrating. And I know this from reading quantum physics stuff. And I'm fascinated by the lowest common denominator of what our universe is like, and then the greatest common denominator of this universe, which I love thinking of the tiny, tiny little atom, and how from the center of that to the outer rim of it is similar to the center of our galaxy to the edge of the universe. I don't know if that's exactly correct, so check your facts, but I know that there's a similarity between the space between an atom, the center of an atom, and the edge, and it's similar to where our Earth is in the known universe. What I have come to know and have always known is that there are multiverses and I can visit them in my mind, in my imagination, in my spirit, in my soul, in my heart. And then the hardest thing has been for me, how do I balance that ability with living in this beautiful little 1961 body I was given? I like the idea of it being like an avatar. I knew what an avatar was back in the day before it was a thing. In fact, there was even a studio I used to record at that was called Avatar. And I looked it up, and avatar meant someone who came in and took another form in order to teach us. And so they used Jesus as an example of a human avatar, because he was Holy Spirit made flesh. And God made flesh. And I'm like, once I realized, watched the movie Avatar, and then Avatar became a familiar term for gamers because they can build their own avatar, or for me, Bitmoji, I'm realizing, oh my gosh, once I started thinking of my body as a vehicle that I reside in instead of a cumbersome, heavy, limited, flawed, imperfect vehicle that's not going to work for me, and I just have to drag it around and try to get stuff done. I've switched that. I've had to switch it because telling myself that my body was flawed and imperfect and not healthy and went from too thin to too fat when I had my babies, and then telling myself that it wasn't good enough, I wasn't good enough, I could never get it right. These are all lies. Now, when I scan back over my timeline, scan, I'm trying to say scan. When I scan back over my timeline, I realize I always had these really intense traumas happen to me on a regular basis. That now I can see, well, of course, my body is responding to the stress of these incredible traumas. And my body still will gain 12 pounds in a day if I've had an intense experience like a car accident or the death of someone close to me. It's my body's way of just like, whoa, we're gonna load up for the storm. And I lost a son. Well, I mean, I belong to that awful club of moms who have buried a son. I didn't just lose him. I buried his human body, but I still believe that his soul and his spirit is accessible to me. So I don't grieve the loss of him, but I sure do grieve the loss of that earthly timeline I thought I was going to get with him. I got 5 years. I thought I was going to get a lot longer, and I thought I was going to go first. So that kind of ties in with thinking about Isabel's mom belonging to that club now and burying her daughter on Saturday. I speak the truth about grief because it's such a hard thing to talk about and it touches all of us. And so often when we hear news of that, we're so shocked we can't speak of it. And I know that grief has shut me down so bad that everything shut down and my mind no longer worked, my body didn't work, although my soul and spirit remained intact. But I understood for once and for all that I couldn't just powerhouse through this feeling or be an inspiration to everybody or write a song about it and everything's fine. I had to feel it. And feeling grief is just one of the worst things. And when you're in the middle of it, just like when you're in the middle of something else excruciatingly painful, for instance, imagine, sure, you can brush your finger through a candle flame for a second, but hold it there for 10 seconds, and that 10 seconds will be one of the longest 10 seconds you've ever experienced. Because pain seems to make time stop, extreme pain. And then, along with that feeling of time stopping, is the shock and your brain not being able to perceive what is happening. And then, if you're like me and you're all about putting on a good show and a good performance, you play the role of this tragic mama. And you tell the story over and over, and your weight goes all the way up to 315 pounds at one point because you've had other stuff happen in your life too. And I realized my weight was my way to disassociate from the incredible trauma and grief I experienced. And Brandon dying of leukemia at age 5 is just one of those stories. I'll tell more later, but this is still the intro, the introductory chapter. I'm seeing here I've talked 23 minutes. So that's probably about as much time as I would kind of want to listen to a podcast. This is about under half an hour. I was intending to do a quick 15-minute one, but then my mouth started moving and words came out, and wow. So let's see, to sum up, there's nothing more threatening to the status quo than a free spirit. The only way to be a free spirit is to tell the truth. And the most important person you need to tell the truth to is yourself and whatever you believe in. As your higher power, as the creator, as something greater than you. And when you're fine with yourself and that which is greater than you, then the rest of the world doesn't interfere anymore because you have nothing to defend. I love what Brené Brown says about the power of being vulnerable. And so I think part of what I'm doing here with my words and being a babbling Robin Brooke is, or Brooke Robin, I guess I'm creating a new species, a babbling Brooke Robin. But
it's to encourage all listeners to stop lying to yourselves and look at where you are neglecting things, hiding things, or ashamed of things, and put a little light on that, and also put a little love on it, and have compassion for it, and forgive yourself of whatever it is you think you need to lie about. 'Cause I'm doing it and it feels really good. And I'm just hoping if I can help some of you along the way, 'cause I'm a little bit farther along now. 'Cause I'm a wise woman. I'm a super crone. I'm a Jima, which is one of the best roles I've ever had. But I'm not just playing a role as Jima, I am the Jima. So today, why don't you think about where are areas you are neglecting that you are lying to yourself, or feelings you're scared to express because you will just disappear in a tsunami of grief? And start thinking of ways to express it. And I'm going to do that too. So I think I'm going to have a blessed day. And I wish all of you to have a blessed day. And in the final analogy, after using all of these incredible gifts I've gotten, I found out the most important thing I need to focus on being is a blessing. So I hope that I was today. Talk to you later. I decided I wanted to add my voice to all of these clamoring voices that are clamoring in the atmosphere this week. I needed to go on radio silence for a few days because it was just overwhelming. And my gift as an empath is very difficult to deal with in times like this because mass hysteria and panic are just so contagious, and empaths feel emotions, and those are some of the most contagious emotions there are, is mass hysteria and panic. But I would like to be a still small voice of reason, or at least of hope and trust and faith out here. Podcasting from a little town in Iowa, northeast-ish Iowa. And some things here haven't changed for 200 years. And some things changed a minute ago. And that seems to be the way it is for everybody. What's nice about being in a place like this where there's not a lot of development is that it's slow enough that, boy, when that big old oak tree comes down that you've seen for most of your life, for whatever reason, it really, really is like watching a good friend go down. So, at this point in my life, born 1961, you can do the math because Lord knows I can't. I have been through a lot of these panics. And I have been through these panics on a personal level. And so, I just want to tell you guys that are freaking out or worried or the young ones who have babies, what kind of world did I bring my babies into? And the older people who are like, what kind of world am I leaving behind? And am I leaving the world too soon? And everybody who's taken a moment at, oh my God, everything that we know out in the world is shutting down. What is really important? And you look around you and you know what is really important. And that's a really good lesson to learn. You're never too young or ever too old to learn what is the most important thing to you in the moment. Now, I learned this for good, although I keep reviewing it as needed, but I learned this for good when I got my own personal, my tower went down, my own personal 9/11 day, the day my world turned upside down and was never the same again, the before and after. And I've had a lot of these, but this is the one that comes to mind that reminds me of the panic you feel in the air today about us running out of enough stuff. This was the day I found out that my 3-year-old son, Brandon Taylor Johns, who looked like a mischievous cherub and acted like a timeless comedian who'd been on stage for thousands of years. It was such a mix. And I found out this little wise guy with the big blue eyes, who I'd come to just adore with all my heart, and everybody he came into contact with, he had that ability to look them in the eye with his big blue eyes without flinching and just loving them. And people fell in love with him left and right because he just looked at them and loved them and accepted where you were right then in that moment. And he looked at me as his mommy in that moment, and I was the best mommy on the planet. We both knew it. We didn't have to talk about it. I was the best mommy for him and for everybody else I wanted to be a mommy to. And on this day, it was the third Monday in September 1989, I get the call that this adorable child of mine, aged 3 in May, has leukemia. So everything flipped from then on. What was really important? And boy, did I learn how to prioritize that. And I still get distracted with things that are in front of me because that's how we go on with our life. I get distracted with, oh gosh, we didn't get the recycling out this week and they didn't pick it up. And I get distracted with what brand of laundry detergent should I use, and things that are just such third world, no, first world issues, not third world issues. But I also know that I have lived through times when we had no water, and I can survive with no water or with very little water, like camping. We have lived through times of sickness, of when our son was on chemo, and if he got a temperature over 101, we had to rush him to the emergency room. And then we learned that we had to powerhouse our way through all of the levels of student nurses, residents, like maybe 8 people, up to finally someone who would admit us. We had to learn to say, we are the Johnses, Dr. Gravy said, admit us right now. Because it was such an emergency when a kid on chemo had a temperature of 101 or more. It was hospital time. It took me a long time with my remaining children, because Brandon did pass away, 91. It took me a long time to not freak out whenever anybody got a temperature. And now what I'm seeing is this virus looks like it mostly causes a temperature in people. And for people who can't handle a high fever right now, that's a danger. Or for a bunch of people having high fever complications and getting maybe secondary infections like pneumonia or something, and overcrowding the hospital's ability to take care of them, that's another concern. But like, I survived the floods in Des Moines of 93, floods of 93. It's when my youngest was born. I moved up here for a while, up to my parents' place in Northeast Iowa on the farm. And we were able to weather it out there. So, what I suggest to everyone who has decided to tune into this, find a safe place to weather this out because it's going to play out. It might take longer than than we've had to deal with before. But on the other hand, it's about time we put down our phones and stop being glued to the TV. Maybe just listen to a podcast so you can focus on doing something else, like play with your kids or go for a jog or paint something while you're listening to this podcast. Don't believe everything you read or see or even hear, because it's like we're living in a constant game of playing telephone, literally, because one person will say one thing and then another person will quote it but get one of the words wrong. Or, like I did without realizing it, I said we had nothing to fear but fear itself, which is an FDR quote, but I believe JFK quoted FDR saying it. But then I couldn't find it, but my dear Aunt Marjorie pointed that out. And I'm like, it's so easy to slip up unintentionally. And I'm meaning to have intention and be clear with my words. There's a lot of people out there who don't care at all. They just put words out there. Words of fear and words of panic, words of hysteria. And these words clog up our mental airways, if you know what I mean. They're floating around out there in the great cloud. And I just don't feel like being part of that cloud. So I guess what I'm doing right now is adding my words of a 58-year-old grandma who wants a beautiful world and future for her adored grandchildren. Speaking for them and being kind of in this place in my life, we're going to be okay. Don't panic. And to quote one of my favorite books, grab a towel, Hitchhikers from the Galaxy. I read the book before it became a movie. That's how really cool I am. Now, I've always been one of those people. I've always been either before my time or after my time. A lot of the sci-fi and prophetic books I read back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, yeah, they've come to pass. But a lot of things that I thought were going to come to pass didn't. So I'm certainly not going to try to do any future projections for 2050. Although I know that I can say for 2020, all is well, especially tonight, right now. And right now, if you think about it, we have babies being born. We have people taking their last breaths. We've got children being sung to sleep and children waking up on the other side of the world. People doing simple things like remembering to drink a little something, eat a little something, and connect with somebody else, take care of somebody. Everybody has to do these things. Take care of your body. Be responsible for our waste. All these things that just living in a human body makes us responsible for. If we can all tend to these things and keep them in balance, and then tend to those who can't tend to themselves and keep it in balance, we will ride this one out too, and we will be okay. And one thing I always remind myself, and I know I've said this over and over, but maybe it's new to some of you, but I like to see myself. I do best when I remember I'm in the eye of the storm. I choose to stay in the eye of the storm. Sometimes the storm still affects me, but if I keep moving with the eye of the storm, that is where I find peace. And so I guess what all of you have to figure out, where is the eye of the storm for you? And I think the fact that I have faith about the eye is what works for me. I believe in the eye of the storm, so therefore I can be there. So this is my podcast tonight, and the words came pretty easily. I hope that this message will be well received and helpful. And I thank God for giving me a good voice and a pretty clear way of putting things so that maybe my words will help. And I just want all of you to know that this person, Robin, me, is wishing every single listener all the best, all the comfort, all the joy, everything you could possibly want in your first day on earth or your last moment on earth. It's all coming down to just this moment. So enjoy. Peace out. I must admit, I am enjoying the sounds of silence. Both covers, the Simon and Garfunkel and then the later one. But I am enjoying this sense of so many things that have kept us so busy at this time of year have had to be canceled. And there's so many moms, especially just breathing a sigh of relief. But then there's so many seniors and kids in recitals and those kind of events where they've worked so hard and it's their whole world that are being canceled and their hearts are broken. But I think it's a really good lesson because when the stuff really hits the fan, you absolutely have to cancel everything but that which must be tended to first. And we're in one of these situations right now. I've never been in this particular type of one before, as far as a pandemic and how this mass panic is acting out in our communities. But what I've seen it do so far is kind of horrifying, as far as the hoarding of such specific items that we always just take for granted that we will always have enough here. That in other places of the world, there is nothing like that to take care of any of that. So I don't know. It makes me feel like we're so spoiled that the best thing we can think of is to make sure we have enough toilet paper to make it through this. Is that what we really want to focus on? Is making sure our butts are clean enough? Which, yeah, is very important, but it's not necessarily an indication of the health of a society. It's kind of reminding me of how Cabbage Patch dolls were such a big thing because they were running out, and how anything that comes out in short supply suddenly, then price gouging happens. And you see now where it's been happening everywhere, because it's really evident then the things that are self-imploding. So this is a real interesting time. And right now, I'm focusing on the little things that just keep me from panicking because it's just like, oh, I get to have a little house and I still have water. I still have my needs met right now. And I get to do the dishes with hot water. And I'm really grateful for what I have. I think one of the worst epidemics in our country is we are so ungrateful because we just never think we have enough and we want more, we want more, which is both the consumer mentality, but it's also the fill the vacuum inside us mentality that so many of us have been born with, that need to fill some emptiness inside us. There's so many ways to do that. I do know that I have a lot of things that help with that. And one of my best things is laughter. And I am kind of known for saying inappropriate things. at inappropriate times just because I'm dying to break the tension. So, like when you could cut the tension like a knife, my belly laugh will just boom, boom through that. So, I noticed that with Steve and I, we've been laughing more and joking more because if it's the last day together, why not enjoy yourself? Because he and I both know that you just never know. It may be your first day together, it might be your last, but whatever it is, all you know is right now is when you got it together. And so enjoy the one in front of you. And remember to laugh about stuff because really it's just really silly. And it's all just such a waste in the end. Try not to leave behind a wasteland, I guess, is what I would say because I tried very hard not to ever do that myself. All right. Thank you. And I will check back later. This is Passing Time with Robin Johns.